This morning we are going to be in Luke chapter 8, verse 42, the second half of 42, verses through 48. This morning as we get a little strong, this morning as we go into this passage, it's one of those things that I embarrass myself all the time up here doing this. I told Melissa this would be the passage, and then I don't remember what day it was, whether it was Thursday or what day. I thought, man, maybe it's going to be this other passage. And so I started preparing the other passage. And so I'm sitting there last night, and I'm thinking, I'm going to have to tell those people that I've messed up again. And so I began to read over both of them. And I found a third message. You're not going to get them all three today, just so you know. You're just going to get one. But you're going to get the third one that I found last night, or that was brought to me last night through some study time and some prayer time. And so we are going to do the same passage that I put in the bulletin, but it's a different message than I had prepared for the bulletin, if that makes sense. And if you know me, it probably makes sense. So let's go ahead and we will open reading verses 42 to 48. It says, For he had only a daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. This is talking about Jairus. We studied him back in September, but that just ties us into where he's at. Jesus is going along, and he's talking to them. He's going with Jairus on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Let's pray. Father, as we open your word this morning, Lord, please open our hearts. Lord, I pray that we receive this message from you, not from me and not from just me reading it, but Lord, from your word, from your power, from your spirit. Lord, that you would move in each of us, not just in this place, but in each of us as individuals. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for who you are. In your name we pray. Amen. This passage is, like I said, it's one of those where Jesus was in the middle of doing something, and this one woman comes up and touches the hem of his garment, and she's immediately healed. And we've heard this story. I've read this story. This is one of my favorite passages, and I try not to come back to it. I write down when the last time I was that I preached out of this passage so that I don't continually come back to this passage. But I love this passage so much. And I've studied it. I've read it. I've heard it preached. I've heard it sung. I love this passage of the faith of this woman. And I have all the times in the 40 years of being a Christian, I have never, ever had this scripture jump out to me the way it did last night. And so I know that this is what I need. My prayer is, again, that you would take this from him, not from me. So as we look at this, we know what's going on, and we know that Jesus is walking through this crowd, and this woman reaches up and touches him, and it says that all these people are just pressing around him. Multitudes of people are walking and pressing, wanting to be close to Jesus. And of course, his disciples are right there, and as he goes around and all these people are pushing up against him, Jesus asked the question, which seemed like such a ridiculous question to his disciples. When he says, who touched me? And that question was there for a reason. I had never thought about the question. Oh, I had thought about the question of why, you know, why only one person touched him, you know, that he felt and different things like that. But the way he asked this question was he wanted a response. And so today is the day you get a chance to respond. Because he said, who touched me? Why did he do that? Because the woman had been healed already. So it wasn't going to change the outcome of her healing. Nobody else had to know. Because they're bumping around and this woman comes through the crowd and comes up behind him. She hasn't altered his path. He's still going. He's still walking the same direction he was walking. And so it may have slowed him down just a little bit as he stopped to talk. But why did he stop to ask that question? Well, there's several answers of what takes place and why he asked that question. Because when he asked that question, that woman had to respond. Nobody else there had to respond to that question because they didn't do anything. So they didn't have to say, oh, it wasn't me. They didn't have to say that. They knew it wasn't them. Only one person in that crowd had to answer. And had to respond because that person purposely touched Jesus. You don't have to respond today if you didn't purposely touch Jesus. There are a lot of people today across our world, this country, this town, wherever, that are going to go to church today and they're not going to respond to anything because they've never touched Jesus. Jesus asked the question, who touched me, for a couple reasons. One, so that this woman would have to step out into the crowd. Here she was among the multitudes, and Jesus wants her to step out. Well, why? The healing's already taken place. She already knew. She felt the healing. Jesus knew because he felt the power go out from him. So why does she need to step out? That's the same question I used to ask for myself. And I guarantee you, you've asked the same thing. Why do I need to step up? Why do I need to step out and do anything for Jesus? There are all these other people that can do it. Why do we need to step up? Why do we need to step out? This woman is going through all of these same thoughts in her mind that you're going through right now. Why do you need to step out for Jesus? If you've touched him, two really easy responses are one, you need to testify to what he's done. Man, it says, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was immediately healed. If you've been touched, if you touched Jesus and it changed your life, then you need to declare among everybody what Jesus has done. But we don't. I'm just going to slip back in the crowd. Let the multitude go on. I got my healing. I got everything I wanted. That's what we do. But Jesus asked that question so that she would have to step out. Was it easy? No. It says, she came trembling. Man, here she is. She's a woman. She is in this crowd, this society where the men were the ones that were there. And she's not just a female, but she is somebody that's unhealthy, unclean, physically unclean. And so therefore she'd have been spiritually unclean. She wouldn't have been able to go into any of the temple area because she was unclean. So anybody that knew her knew that she was an unclean person that should have never been in the presence of Jesus. That's what they thought. She had to testify that I'm no longer that way. Because if she hadn't, everybody would have kept treating her that way. And until you step out for Jesus, why are your friends, why are your coworkers, why are your teammates, your classmates ever going to treat you any different if they don't know there's been a change? Oh, well, surely they can see a change. Nope. There's churches down the road that act just as good as we do, and they have no earthly idea who Jesus is. If Jesus Christ has changed your life, then you need to step out and testify to what He has done. That's why He asked her that question. And that's why He's asking you that question. That's why He's asked me that question last night. Who touched me? Who had the desire to be changed by me? If you do, then step out. Because you're supposed to testify. And not only that, we're supposed to glorify God. That's our reason for living. That's our reason that we're still here. Otherwise, He would have just saved me and took me on to heaven. But He left us here for a reason, and that reason is to bring honor and glory to Him. And you can't do that unless you step out. I cannot do that unless I step out. Because if I slink back into the crowd, into the multitude, then nobody's ever going to know what Jesus did in my life. If you slink back in the crowd, nobody's ever going to know what Jesus did in your life. How's He going to receive glory and honor for that if you keep it hidden in the multitudes? But that's what we do. So Jesus asked that question, one, so this woman would step out. But secondly, He asked that question so that others could see. Man, here she comes up and she testifies. And they say, well, that's that woman that for all these years she's came to the physicians to be healed and she's been unclean. And now she's saying that because she touched Jesus, she's healed. And we don't just have her testimony. Jesus said, I felt the power go out from me. Something has changed in this woman, and they would have saw that. One, she told them, and that made them look. Others could see what her faith looked like. Everybody in here would claim to have faith in something, somebody. But most of us would claim to have faith in God and have faith in Jesus. But do you really have faith? I just want to ask you that. Because this is the thing. So many times the world skews what faith means. Faith just means believing in God. Well, the Bible tells me that the devil believes and trembles. He doesn't have faith in God. He just believes. He knows. But they got to see that this faith was personal. So if you have faith, is it personal? Do you just go to church with a bunch of people that believe the same thing you do? Do you just believe the same thing mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, brother, sister, my kids, whatever? Do you just believe the same thing they do? Or is it personal? Because Jesus asked for one person to step out of this crowd. Just one. And He's asking for just you to step out. He's not asking for this church. Yes, that's what happens eventually. He's not asking for your family. He's not asking for mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, or kids. He's asking for you to step out in faith. We've talked about this before, but faith is not just believing something. It's not even just knowing something, but it's acting on it. When's the last time you acted on your faith? You can't just act on believing in something until you truly trust it. Hebrews tells us, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. It's pretending that, it's knowing that something is there even when logically it doesn't make sense. But faith, stepping out on my belief in Jesus Christ, has to be personal. People saw that it was personal, and they saw her faith was powerful. When's the last time somebody saw your faith and thought, man, that person's faith is powerful? And it's not really the power that's in us. The power is in God. But what moves that power is my faith, is your faith. When is the last time somebody thought, man, that person has true faith because I can see it. I can tell what it looks like. Do people see it? They see I'm a religious person. I had somebody come up to me this week and say, hey, I need somebody to pray for me. Will you do this? So they know I'm a religious person. But that's not seeing my faith. Seeing my faith is seeing an action that I step out on something to do something, knowing that if I fall, I'm going to fall believing in God. If He lets me fall, that's fine. He's got a reason for it. But I've got to step out and stand on faith, come out of the crowd, come out of the multitude, knowing that I'm doing it because God called me out. How long has it been since we've done that? So he said, who touched me? One, so that the woman would step out. Two, so that others would see what faith looks like. But then to see what faith can do. Man, here was this woman and she was physically healed. She was emotionally healed because it says that, you know, she was okay after that. Jesus said she was well. So physically, she was okay. Emotionally, she had to have been so much better. All these years, she had spent all this money trying to get better, and now all of a sudden, she knew that she was better. She had been healed. So emotionally, she had to have been healed. She had to have been socially healed. Now she could go to the temple. She could go to the temple area where women were permitted and where people that were clean could go, and people would be able not ostracize her. So socially, she had been changed. Spiritually, she had been changed because she knew that Jesus, the Son of God, His power changed her life. What would that do for her spiritually? You can answer that question by saying, what did He do for me spiritually when He touched me, when He changed me? And man, as I prepared this, I thought, man, that is great. That is a great message right there. Why would Jesus ask this question? So she would step out, so others could see what faith looked like, so others could see what faith would do, but also so others can see that Jesus cared about just one person. Here is this woman that to society, nobody cared. To physicians, hey, she's a way to make money. Other than that, nobody cared. Jesus cared about her as a single individual that nobody else cared about. So it shows people exactly Jesus' personal connection to every single person. Do you have that connection to Him? Do I have that connection to Him? That He would stop whatever He's doing. He's walking to do something good. He's going to heal Jairus' daughter. And He stopped because one person needed Him. We don't even stop our day to go to Him when we need Him. Well, surely He'll come to us. All these reasons for the who touched me. What does it do for you today? That question. What jumped out at me is in verse 48. Let's look at verse 48. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I read that verse so many times throughout my life, and I thought, hey, she was healed. It says so. But when she stepped out of that crowd, trembling, falling down before Jesus, testifying, giving God glory and honor, this is what happened. Do not miss this. He called her daughter. He called her daughter. She come to the crowd wanting just healing, reaching out and trusting in faith for that healing touch. And she didn't even want to touch him. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. That's all she came for. And she went away as a child of God, the daughter, because she was willing to step out when Jesus called her out. If you're a child of God, there is no way you can be back in the crowd. He's called you to step out. And when she did, he called her daughter. When we do, our relationship with him will be strengthened. Now, you may already be a child of God, but every time you step out, when he calls you to step out, that relationship with him will be strengthened. Think about it. You step out and do what he's called you to do. He says, that's my son, that's my daughter. He's saying that to you because you're willing to step out. Not only that, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Her faith changed her. Yes, Jesus did it, but her faith changed her. Has your faith changed you? Not as it changed the people around you, none of that. Has your faith changed you? Or is it just something you have? And she steps out trembling. And how does she feel now that she's called a daughter of God? And Jesus says, you have enough faith that's going to change you. And you're going to be made well. Do you have enough faith to change even you when it's placed in the hands of God? And then the third thing in that verse, he says, be of good cheer. And it jumps over and says, go in peace. She's healed, yes. She is now, she has a relationship with him. She is the daughter of God. Her body is well. She's been changed. And he said, now, be of good cheer. Have joy in the Lord. Know that in your communion with God, in what took place, and you reaching out and touching him, and him calling you out, and you stepping up, and you doing what he called you to do, be of good cheer. You are in the will of God. Be of good cheer. You know, I don't mean this bad in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. But you know, sometimes standing up here, I don't see very cheerful people. Well, Pastor, you browbeat us all the time. No, I just read the Scripture. But we need to have that joy of the Lord, and it only comes, it's that God-given gladness that changes who we are. And it's not I'm going to be happy and sunshine all the time. But it's knowing that the joy of the Lord is my strength. My communion with Him, my time with Him, my talking to Him, my reaching out to Him, Him calling me out and me responding, me submitting to Him, that is going to be a joy that this world will never give you. And this world can never take it away. No matter what happens, no one in this world, not even the prince of this world, can steal your joy. But too many times we surrender it. Not only does it say, be of good cheer, but He says, go in peace. There is no other peace than that which is given by God. And that peace comes through believing, accepting, and acting on your faith in Jesus Christ. The world, they may say they give peace. The governments are saying, hey, let's sign all these peace treaties. That's not peace. The only peace is knowing that because I have given my heart to Jesus Christ, because He died on the cross, because He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again, He come back and people saw Him, and then He ascended to God, and He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you and me. And when I know that, I can have peace. If you know that, if you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know your eternity is set, then you can have a peace that passes all understanding, like the Scripture said. It'll guard your heart and mind. Satan's going to attack your heart and your mind. And that peace is the only thing that can protect it. Three real quick questions as we close. One, are you stepping out and is your faith glorifying God? What does your faith look like to others? And is your faith changing you daily? And I sat there last night as I wrote those three questions down. I have to be honest with you. I didn't have the best answers to a lot of them. That's why we're going over this today. Because we have that understanding of faith that is just believing and calling ourselves Christians is faith. No, it's not. Faith is an action. It's intellectual, it's emotional, it's volitional. It is an action that causes me to react. I know this chair will hold me up, I believe it will hold me up, but it never holds me up until I sit in it. You can have faith, you can believe in Jesus Christ, you can know He is the Son of God, but until you act on that, you do not have faith. I'm talking to Christians right now. Because we've asked Jesus Christ into our heart. So what is your faith doing today? What are you doing based strictly and solely on your faith? Well, I use my faith in my life. No, that's not the way it works. That's getting the cart before the horse. My faith should guide what my life turns into. But we get it twisted. And we think our belief in God will help our life. We believe our faith in God will come along and help us and lead us and guide us and all these things. And yes, that's true. But it needs to be the priority of our life, not just tacked on. So my question goes back to the original. I'm going to rephrase it just a little bit as I close. The question is, who touched me? My question is, has He touched you? You could tell that the woman had touched Him. Can I tell? Can others tell? Can God tell that He's touched me or you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this day, and we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we pray that as we go out of this place, Lord, as we take one step out of here, we know Satan's going to attack us in here. He's going to attack us as soon as we get out. But God, all that matters is what you call us to do, that we would follow you, that we'd surrender to you, and that we'd step out for you. Lord, if there's anyone in this place that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, maybe they think they did, Lord, may they understand today what it means to be touched by you. In your name we pray. Amen.